Amen. Out of all six chapters, I love the second chapter. Amen. But I'll tell you, all of them are good. Amen. Praise God. This is the walking book. Praise God. Tells you how to walk. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. I pray that the Lord will have His will, His way, and everything it's done, said. And I pray this morning, if you're in this building lost without God, without Christ, that the Holy Spirit will speak to you. I pray you'll allow Him to do that. If you'll allow the Lord Jesus to speak to your heart, He'll do it. And I pray the Holy Ghost today will touch you, if you're especially without the Lord Jesus. And if you are saved, I pray God will speak to you with the Spirit of God and show you what you need to be doing. In the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, stand, and we'll read together, starting at verse number 1. And Paul, writing this scripture on the inspiration of the Spirit, said, "And you hath He quickened," that word quickened means made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." In other words, He said, you were dead, but you're alive now. Verse 2, He said, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." The Bible said, but verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us." Amen. You can be seated. And let's pray and seek the face of God. Lord, give us wisdom, understanding. Give us the unction from above. May the power of the resurrected Christ, Lord, I pray today, speak through us. Speak to us, Lord, and use us. Lord, I pray that we'd be an instrument of God in the hands and a tool this morning of the Lord. I pray, God, that You'd speak to every heart. Lord, I don't know what people came here today to receive or to look for. I don't know why they're here. Lord, I don't know what's going on in their heart. I don't know what's going on in their mind. Lord, I don't know what they need. I don't know what they faced yesterday, and I don't know what they're facing today. And I certainly don't know what they're facing tomorrow. But I pray, dear God, that the Holy Ghost of God would speak in a real way. Lord, may we get out of the way that Christ might be seen. We'll give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. We commit it to Your sin conviction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to use the Word of God this morning and preach to you what God says, not what I think, not what you think. But I pray this morning God will have His way. A couple of times this week, I don't know why I picked up on it, two ladies. One of them said, "I'm a positive person." Amen. I don't know what that means, particularly in this day, but I hear people talk about positive. And I hear them talk about negative preachers. I've been labeled as a negative preacher, but I don't know where in the world I get that. Amen. Amen. You say, "Preacher, I'm a positive person." I want to tell you a lie. Amen. Everybody in this building this morning has been positive sometime or another. And you've been negative a few times in your life. And you've been neutral many times in your life. So you're not a positive person. Amen. I'm positive. I'm positive this morning. I'm saved. I'm positive this morning that the blood's been applied. I'm positive this morning that I'm going to heaven. But amen, I get negative every now and then. And sometimes I get in the middle and don't care. Amen, I'm a typical Baptist. And I get negative. Somebody said, "Preacher, I'm on fire for God." Well, you can be hot. You can be cold. But you can be lukewarm, and I've been all three of them every once in a while. Have you? Amen. Well, you said, "Preacher, I'm right." Oh, another said, "I'm left." Amen. But sometimes you get in the middle. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? So I want you to dig a little deeper than just them little terms. Problems come. I don't care who you are, you're going to face things that you have never faced. A few times in my life, I said, "Surely I could never face anything new. I've done faced everything there is. I've been through things, brother, I'll tell you what, sometimes scares me to even think about them again." And I say to God, I say, Lord, please give it something different next time. Don't let me ever have to go through that again. Have you ever said that? Amen. I've come through troubles and trials, and I kind of brushed myself off and said, whew, that'd like to kill me. I was in a meeting one day, and the preacher was preaching, and the big old stage is about this tall. And he was preaching on eternal security. And I don't know, preaching, he must have thought that that was just a small step. And he's over there preaching, and when he preached, he stepped off. Now, he didn't realize that it was about that tall. And he's staggering around. And he got his composure, and he got that. He got quiet, and he walked around and walked back up on the stage. And when he did, he got up there, and he said, whew, that illustration like to kill me. Well, the preaching was over. Everybody in the house laughed. But there's been some times I've come through trials and I've kind of rubbed my brow and I didn't say, whew, I'm glad that happened. I said, I'm glad I made it through it. Amen. It's been by the grace of God. Well, sometimes you get problems, you get grief, you get trials, you get all kinds of adversities come your way. Isn't it amazing how that we'll look at certain things in certain ways today that we'll try to straighten that out. We always try to get some comfort. An unbeliever, he'll go get the bottle and try to drink his way out of his troubles. He'll try to drown his problems. A druggie, he'll go get some dope and try his best to dismiss them. If I get on drugs or alcohol enough, I can forget all my problems. But when they become sober, they're still there. Somebody else can come along and say, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go down and sit down and discuss it over. And we've got so many people going to discuss this problem, discuss that problem. And they're trying to defeat that problem. But when they get out, they're still got that problem. Another to come along and said, I'll just kind of get off to myself in the corner. And I'll try to isolate it and get rid of that problem. And maybe it'll depart from it. But when he comes back out into reality, that problem's still there. But I'm glad this morning as a child of God, I can go to the Word of God, and by the Spirit of God, I can find myself some help. I can get myself some strength. Brother, I can get my composure, and I can keep on trotting for the glory of God and running the race, amen, with patience and give God the glory in the midst of all of it. Now, that's where I want to be, don't you? Amen. I want to be able to do that. Well, you said, preacher, God can't do nothing with me. I'm just one little old individual. I got to reading in the Word of God and got to studying about it. And they just matter of fact, sitting back, I wasn't reading it that particular time. And I just began to reminisce a little bit out of the Bible. Isn't it good to reminisce? Amen. My wife's family come up and is talking about Habersham Mills where they was raised as kids. And they got to reminiscing about what they'd went through when they was kids and where they'd lived. And they just kind of looked it over and they reminisced. Well, every once in a while I get to reminiscing about the Word of God. Do you get to thinking about it just for a minute? And I said, hey, you don't have to be in the majority to stand for God. You don't have to be in the majority today to be in the limelight. Amen. God can use one woman. God can use one man if he wants to change the entire society. God can take one man or one woman and he can change the whole outlook of this church through that one individual. You said, oh, preacher, no. Yeah, God is still looking for a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. I read in the Old Testament where he said he's looking for a man he couldn't find none. I believe God is looking for somebody today to make up the hedge in the time, in the day, in the course of time that we're living in. Wouldn't you like to be that man or woman today that God can turn the situation around and change our society and change our direction and change our church? And God could certainly do that. Amen. Now, just see now, somebody's saying, oh, sure, 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 sure. And the reason is because you know it's not you. Amen. It's hard to get anybody like Isaiah to stand up and say, Lord, here am I, send me. We always want to make excuses, but Isaiah said, I'll go. It's hard to find that. I got to thinking and reminiscing now in my office, kind of propped back a little bit. And I began to study in my mind. You imagine old Noah. Noah was living in a terrible hour. He was in a dark day. I mean, it was wicked. It was me. The Bible said the very imagination of men were on the evil continually. That's all they had on their mind. Ungodliness, wickedness. We're going to see that today in the scriptures, I trust. I want to tell you this morning, brother, everywhere you go, it's wickedness, wickedness, wickedness. We're not living in a God-honoring society. Amen. They may say that in God we trust. Amen. They may say that today, but there's not many that are trusting in God. They're not. And so I look at this and, oh, Noah, can you just imagine? And as I sat down last night and right before I went to sleep, I said, Lord, how was it probably in the days? And I got to thinking, reckon how many that God had already come to before he got to Noah. You said, preacher, you can't prove that. No, I can't. But I'm not stupid. And I realize this today, that God speaks to a lot of people that never hear him. I know a lot of people that's heard God speak, but they've ignored him. I've heard testimonies of men and women who said, God wanted me to do this. Then in later years, they say, I wish I had when God spoke to me. And now they're paying the price. But reckon how many that somebody that God had come to, and maybe it spoke to them and they said no. But can you just put yourself in Noah's place one day? And God said, Noah, I'm going to send a rain on this earth. And Noah said, what's that? God said, I'm going to destroy this earth by flood. Noah said, what's that? Noah had never seen rain. Noah had never seen a flood. There'd never been a flood before then because it had never rained. God said, Noah, I'm going to destroy this earth. You mean the whole earth? Yes, the whole earth. I'm going to destroy the whole. I want you to be my mouthpiece. I want you to preach righteousness, and I want you to warn them to flee from the wrath to come. I want you in the same time, I want you to prepare an ark. Lord, what's an ark? He said, it's a big boat. Noah said, what kind of boat? And God said, I've got the blueprints and I'll send them. It wasn't by fax. It wasn't by email. God gave them down to him in his heart, and he laid it out and drawed up the plans. And God said, this is exactly what I want you to build. And Noah said, but they're going to live. God said, I don't care. Build that ark. Noah said, all right. I'll step out and build an ark. And for 120 years, he labored and toiled and made an ark. And can you imagine him standing down on the street corner and God said, he's got to send a flood. You better get ready and prepare to meet God. And the people said, what's a flood? Said, God's going to send a rain. They said, what's a rain? I'm building an ark for you to get in. They said, what's an ark? Can you picture that? Noah goes to doing his work. And he hoodwinked his sons. That's what this world would say. They said he incorporated his sons to go up. And can you imagine them walking by Noah's house where he's building an ark? And they said, what's going on? He said, he's building an ark. He said, God's going to destroy the earth by flood. That's a crazy maniac that lives on the hill. Don't you go by there. I see people training their kids. Said, don't you dare get up. You ever come up with them Noah kids? You ever come up with that Noah himself? Or if you meet Noah's wife down at the grocery store, I mean, get on the other aisle. For God's sake, go another direction. They're a bunch of antiques. They're a bunch of weirdos. They're a bunch of out on the limb, folks. They're crazy. There's something wrong with that crowd. And up for 120 years, they listened to Noah, but he built an ark. And God prepared it through him and saved 8 souls out of the midst of it and started over a brand new society. Amen.
I'll give you this, and I don't have time to spend on all these like that, but can you imagine one day that God speaks to a man and says, I want you to get up in the morning. I want you to get your family, get your wife. That's all he had at that time, supposed to have. And I want you to get yourself out of your country and out of your kindred. I want you to go down the road. And Abraham said, where do you want me to go? He said, I'll tell you when you get there. Now, Lord, I don't mind going for you, but would you kind of specify which way I'm going? And he said, you just go that way, and when you get there, I'll tell you. You mean I don't have nowhere to lay out for me to go? No, that's right. I want you just to go down the road. Got it? So he goes in, and boy, I'm telling you what. Can you imagine when he goes in to Sarai? This is Abraham now. And he said, honey, in the morning we're going to leave. Where are we going, Abram? I don't know. Well, why are we leaving if you don't know where we're going? And why are you going to take me? Where are we going? I don't know. All I know is God said go, and when we get there, he'll tell us. Amen. Now, can you just imagine what run through Sarai's mind? Imagine what was thumping through the head of Abram. I'm going to get up in the morning, pack everything I got, get all my cattle, get all my herdmen, every stitch of everything I've got. We're going to say goodbye to mama, daddy, if his mama was leaving, but his daddy was. Instead, we're going to say goodbye to every one of them. We're going to say so long, shake hands and goodbyes and tears and hugs. And we're going down the road, but we don't know where we're going. Can you imagine he gets up the next morning and he said, hey, God told us to leave. Where are you going, Abraham? I don't know where we're going. God said he'd show us when we got there. Can you imagine the uncles now saying, Abraham, we got to have a serious talk. Abraham, there's something wrong. He said, we're just going to live by faith. And they looked at him and said, Abram, faith is not stupidity. Abraham, it's got to be crazy for you to take off. I believe you're a nutcase. What happened to you? What'd you eat before you went to bed last night? God said to get up and go, and I'll show you when you get there. And so he left. And on the road, he's going down there, and they said, where are you going, Abraham? He said, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker's God. And I don't know when I'll get there. And I don't know what it looks like, but God said I'd know it when I got there. And he told to tell me where to go. I'd seen the family shaking their head and scratching their head and saying, boy, I sure hope he knows what he's doing. And they said, hey, family come to see him and said, where's Abram? Oh, him and Sarai, I went down the road and took Lot with him and everything he had, and he just went off. I believe he went off the rocker. I believe he's off his rocker. He said he's just going, and God's going to show him when he gets there that he's right. But God used that man to establish a nation called the Jew and the Israelite. And Israel's been on the face of the earth ever since because one man listened to God. I'll give you two or three more. Hey, amen. I won't have the time to spend on all of them like this. But I can just see God speaking another day. And a little old boy, he's down in a pit. His brothers has forsaken him. They throwed him in the pit to get rid of him. And all of a sudden, here comes a camel train by, digs him out of the pit, gets him up there. Takes him off down to Egypt and sells him into slavery. And this little boy is sitting there scratching his head and said, I don't understand this. I wasn't doing anything wrong. My brothers just didn't have any use for me. And they got jealous of me because of my dreams. But all I want to do is serve God and walk for God and do the things I'm supposed to do. And God says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. And he had some adversities and some things happen in his life. But the next thing you know, God has raised him to the second in command of Egypt. Put him in charge of all the food stuff. Amen. I don't know what kind of title he might have had then. Amen. He is over the agriculture department, over the farming end of it and everything. I want you to know he is in charge. Nobody could get anything. Amen. Except Joseph said, you can have it. And God sent a famine down to the family. And they come down there. And the next thing you know, the story, Joseph is being used. But God took one little old boy by the name of Joseph and preserved a whole generation of men and women. Preserved that nation. I look a little further in the Word of God. I find a little old feller. Nobody wanted him really, but his little family, they loved him. But the devil saw that he was a kind of a special outfit. Amen. And the devil said, what I'm going to do is kill all the male children. Sent a decree out. Pharaoh had that decree sent out. And amen, they put Moses in the bulrushes in an ark because he was a proper child. Amen. I really don't know what that word proper in that fashion is. Everybody in this building probably got some proper sons and daughters. Amen. You probably think you got a proper child over everybody else's in here. At least that's the way you ought to think. Amen. Don't get the place you think they won't do nothing mean. God will cut you down off the limb. Amen. Don't you put your children above everybody else's. They're just same old human flesh. Amen. You give them an inch and they'll take a mile. But they're good, amen, to raise, and I appreciate that. So they put him in the bulrushes, and God sent by Pharaoh's daughter, and oh, she loved him and took care of him and put him down in Egypt, trained him, and he was as smart as he could be. But there come a time when he had to separate from that, and the story, to make it shorter, we find out God put him on the backside of the desert. And he stayed out there for 40 years to get all that wisdom and knowledge that he had out of Egypt out of him. God took 40 years to get the world out of him so that he could lead him down there to get those Israelites. And it took him 40 years to get Egypt out of them. That's the reason I say don't go to the world. So Moses, God used him. And he parts the water. God does through his rod. And they go over on dry ground. And God took one man, Moses, and used him to lead a nation on. And we go on. We could talk about the story this morning of Joshua. We could talk about Gideon. We could talk about Elijah. And you could just read on and on. And I got to think, I'm a reminiscing. Now we're just reminiscing. I'm just thinking about my Bible. And I get charged and challenged, and I say, Lord, if you can do that with them, you could do that with us today. He's still the same God. Do you believe that God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Joseph, the God of Noah, the God of Moses, do you believe that's still the same God that we have? Then the Lord reminds me, well, you got to find where they were. All these men had a commonality to them. They had something in common. Number one, they just plain believed God. They had faith. Faith believing that God is and that He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. No man or woman in this building can do anything today unless God gives him the faith to believe, and we must do it by faith. Somebody said, bless God, I'm going to tire the world upside down and turn it upside down for Jesus. You better reckon this morning where you get your strength. And you better come God's way to do it so they believe God. Number two, They not only believed God, but they obeyed God. When God said something, they did it. They didn't argue with God. They didn't fuss with God. Some of you in this morning, in your Bible, there's some things that's in that book that you refuse to do. You're not going to do it. You don't interpret it that way, and you will not live that way, and therefore you'll never go anywhere with God. You got to believe, and you got to obey. Amen. That's pretty good preaching right there, right? Amen. It's the truth. All right, I don't know whether that's negative, positive, or neutral. But it's good for you. Right? The next thing that they did, they not only believed God and obeyed God, but they followed God. They didn't draw nigh, amen, to the world, but they drew nigh to God. They followed God with all their heart. Suppose when Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And Peter said, "I'm not following you, I'm going the other way." Reckon what would have happened. They followed God. They believed God. They obeyed God. They followed God. And then when they followed God, something else took over. They walked with God and for God. Now that's my introduction. I want to talk about now walking in the Christian faith. Let's go, first of all, there's three things I want to talk about walking. I'll never get all this message preached, so we'll just quit. We'll unhitch and go home. The first thing I want to notice, if you will, write this in your notes. I want us to be recognized, and I want us to go back and reminisce a minute. I want us to go back and see what Paul said about how we used to walk. How we used to walk. How that we once walked, if you want it that way. In chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin," number 2. He said, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world." Now let me show you a good way of understanding the Scriptures. Or at least it's been a good way for me. It may not be for you, but let me just show you. Maybe you can pick up on how I study the Word of God, and maybe it'll help you. It may not. But the Bible said in verse 2, I go by my Bible with the periods, the commas, the semicolons, the colons. I look at punctuation. So I write down what I find in verse number 2 on one line or two lines, whatever it takes. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world," comma. That's what you ought to write on that first line. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." Now stop just for a minute. What is the course of this world? The course of this world is headed in the wrong direction. The course of this world is headed against God. The course of this world is headed in wickedness. The course of this world is against God. The course. Brother, I'm talking about the course, the free lane, the freeway. The highways of this world are headed in the wrong direction. They're headed toward hell. Now, beloved, that's where you used to be walking. You used to be walking like the course of this world. You used to at one time went the way the world went. And if you're still going the way the world went, verse 1 don't apply to you yet. "And you hath he quickened." That means you have not been made alive. If you're still walking the way the world wants you to walk, you're still going in the course of the world, you're going in the wrong direction. Is that simple enough? Second line, verse number 2. "According to the prince of the power of the air." How did you used to walk? You went according to the course of this world. And secondly, you went according to the prince of the air. Of the power of the air. You said, what is the prince of the power of the air? Satan. You not only walked according to the course of this world, but you walked according to how the devil led you and directed you and guided you. He had control of your life. Is that plain? Or on the third line, the Bible said, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There's three things in verse number 2 that you did. You walked according to the course of this world. You walked according to the prince and the power of the air. And number 3, you walked according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's not the spirit of God. That's a spirit of evil. And the spirit of wickedness. And the spirit of ungodliness. That's how you used to walk. Now if you're walking in any of those today, verse 1 does not apply. You're still dead in trespasses and sins. Read on. We come to verse 3. Let's do it the same way. Verse number 2 talks about our walk. Verse number 3 talks about our conversation. And in this word conversation, it's not the way we speak necessarily, although it can be. But this word conversation here is our manner of life. What we do, our habits. So he said in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. That's what goes on line 1 of verse 3. We went to the comma. What did you do? You walked according to the lust of our flesh. Does this flesh please God? Does this flesh glorify God? No, we're glorify God through the spirit that's in the flesh. The flesh does not please God. What does the flesh do? The flesh desires the things of the flesh. The flesh wants to do that which the flesh desires. The flesh has no desire for God whatsoever. That's why the Holy Ghost changes us. Second line, verse 3. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. He said not only do we have our conversation or our activity or our workings, our doings in the lust of flesh, but we have a desire this morning to have the flesh do what it wants to do, and what we're doing is fulfilling not only what the flesh wants, but also the mind. Now the mind in Noah's days was evil continually. That's what it is today. Number 3 in that line, and we're by nature the children of wrath. We're by nature the children of wrath. Now we're not the children of God, we're the children of wrath. Lost, undone. That's what we were. That's what we were. Did you get it? That's what we were. That's how we walked. And then he says, even as others, to put down that last line in that one, and that's what everybody else is doing. In other words, we done what everybody else is doing. Well, I don't see why you want to push that. I used to talk to my sons, you can't do that. Why? Because it's not right. But so-and-so's boys do it, and he's the pastor of the church down yonder on the side of the road. Everybody else is doing it. How come I can't do it? You can't smoke a cigarette. You don't want to catch it in your mouth. Why? Everybody else is doing it. Have you heard that before? All right. Now, hurriedly, 2 more thoughts on this line. We found what we were before we got saved or how we once walked. The second thing I want to point out is in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, I want to show us tonight, today, how that we ought not to walk. How we ought not to walk. Chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians 4, 17 said this, I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not. As other Gentiles walk. Now he's going to tell us how they walk. in the vanity of their mind, doing what they want to do. God said, you don't have the right anymore to do what you want to do. You have been bought with a price. You belong to Him. He belongs to you. And you can't do what you want to do. Go where you want to go and live like you want to live. You're dominated by the Spirit now. Spirit of God. So we're not to walk as other Gentiles. Now, in verse 18, put your lines down to understand that and go to your punctuation. Here's what they did. Having the understanding darkened. God said we're not to walk as these other Gentiles. So their minds are polluted. Amen. They have a vanity in their mind. So what you want to do is they have an understanding that is darkened. They can't see clear. God said we're not to walk with a darkened understanding. A child of God this morning has got the Word of God and the Spirit of God to show us different. Now, I'm not preaching what I think. I'm preaching what the Bible said. Now, he said in the second line, being alienated. What's alienated? Put away from, separated from. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. They're ignorant, they're blinded. And they're ignorant. They're talking about people who are lost. And he said, we're not to walk like them. We're not to walk with ignorance. We're not walking and be alienated from the life of God through ignorance. And then he said in the last part of the verse, because of the blindness of their heart. Not only is their mind blinded, but their heart's blinded. You know, a drunkard, he don't know. I mean, he knows what he's doing's wrong. Amen. And he can't change that. You know, somebody said, I'm just going to quit drinking. You can't quit drinking. God has to change that in you. You can't stop your sinning. God has to stop that in you. Bible said in verse number 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. What's lasciviousness? Perversion. It has a sexual connotation to it if you stop to think about it. In other words, lustful looking at the opposite sex in a different way, in a perverted manner. And that's what had happened in the days of Noah. Sexual perversion had taken place. Amen. You said, I don't believe that's happening. What do you think these women are running half naked far down to Walmart every day for? Amen. What do you want? What makes you think that women take off all their clothes? They get all the clothes they can get off of them. Amen. That they think they can get by with without being locked up for nudity. What are they doing that for? It can't be to glorify God. Their minds are perverted. If everything, going right, you ladies ought to wrap yourself up. Amen. Amen, preacher. Right. Look. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. To do them. He said those are the things that you ought not to do. Ought not to walk. Now the third one. We'll find it this morning in Ephesians chapter 5. Amen. I'd like to preach on some of them a little bit longer, but I'll spare you. Verse 15 said, See then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, he's going to tell us how we should walk. We saw how we used to walk. We saw how we should, how we should not walk. And now we're going to see how we should walk. All in the same Bible, out of the same book. Ephesians 5:15 said we're to walk circumspectly, that is cautiously, carefully. Amen. Kind of gives me every time I looked at that word circumspectly since I first started preaching, and I've said it about every time I've come across it. It makes me think of about a cat on a hot tin roof.
Amen.
You ever watched a cat walk on a hot tin roof? Cautiously. That circumspectly means you make sure you walk, put your foot in the right place, and you walk carefully. He said, redeeming the time, and that's what you do when you walk circumspectly, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And that's what happens. You walk according to the will of the Lord. I don't have time to expound on all these. Wish I did. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. And you will not, if you're filled with the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 19 said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You don't have to have a crowd to talk to all the time. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Here's how you're to walk. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And he goes on down, and then he starts getting into the home life of us. And I'll stop there, because if we get into that, we'll be here a while. So we're to walk this morning according to the Bible. All these have turned the world upside down. They believe God. They obeyed God. They followed God. And they walked for God. And if you ever want to accomplish anything, you're going to have to do the same thing. God didn't change it. He won't change it. Amen. For you and me. He hasn't changed it for anybody yet. Same God. Amen. I pray today, God touch your heart. Heads bowed. Child of God, you know how you used to walk. You've been told in the Word of God how you ought not to walk today. And he's also told you how to walk. God didn't tell us how to walk this morning and then not give us instruction. God has given us the Spirit of God and the Word of God to direct our paths. We like Noah, we like Abraham, we like Moses, we like Joseph, and all the other men in the Word of God. We're to follow God. We follow His Word. Where are you today? What's your number? 207? 307. Let's stand. It's in the red book. 307, red book.